Today on Laura Lynn and Friends.
Well, the government, NHS England, has just confirmed that children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers at gender identity clinics.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the beginning of the last days. My name is Laura Lynn Totter-Thompson, and you know we love to start this show by reading from my wonderful dad's Bible. This is a treasure to me, and I try not to, make sure that I don't treat it too roughly because, you know, it's already in rough shape. And you know why it's in rough shape? Because my dad has had this Bible, I mean, of course, until his passing 2.5 years ago, but he had this Bible like at least 50 years ago because we have a picture of the family gathered around it and he's holding it in, his lap and it looks like it's brand new at that point. So I love the legacy my father left me. My mom and dad were missionaries, of course, and my dad loved this word. So I always open it up and I only read what he underlined. And I hope that you at home are doing this, that you are creating a Bible that is underlined so that your children, and if you've got 5 kids, you better have 5 Bibles going so you can leave one for each of them. Then you gotta underline a lot, you know, in each one. But he left us this, and it is so special, and so I look for something. Now, this is kind of cool, because let me tell you, I open it up today to 1 Corinthians 7 and verses 22 and 23, and I see that he has underlined 3 verses here. And it's interesting, and the reason it's interesting is because he, you know, double underlined this word Freeman. Well, my dad's name was actually David Freeman. So I was formerly Laura Lynn Freeman, and they'd call me Free Woman, just to be gender specific and correct. But that was my girlfriends that would call me that. And so this is what he's underlined. And I think it's important about today's message. It's important that freedom remains. And here's what 1 Corinthians 7 says. So verse 22, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man." Free man. It's one word. "Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant." Do you understand that the reason that we have a free country, free North America, free Canada, free United States, any country that founds its principles on the Word of God loves freedom? Why? Because of this. Because it's God's idea. And so that's why Canada, founded on Judeo-Christian values, it's so important that we understand that's our legacy. Nobody gets to tell us that we're slaves. No, we are free. And we are not subject to man's ideologies or agendas. We are not subject to them. We are free under God's law. Then it says in verse 23, "Ye are bought with a price, but not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." So that's some old English. Let me just break it down for you because, you know, it's kind of hard for me to understand all that old English too. But basically, when you ascribe to this, when you ascribe to the word as being the founding principle of how you live, the principles that guide you, the way in which you do life, this is about understanding your freedom came from one source, and that was God. Let no man take that from you. If you are in God, you are free. And that's why we stand so strongly against some of the things that we've had to face, the World Health, World Health Organization and the UN and all of these. We're going to be presenting some information on how basically there's a treaty that they want to sign that will take away the sovereignty of all countries so that the next sort of problem we have medically, you know, another pandemic, let's say, that they want the world to operate in sync under their rules, under their agenda. Why? Oh, because it worked so well the last time? I don't know. But I'm pretty excited about this. Breaking news out of the UK as they ban puberty blockers for pre-adults. Take a look.
And let's just bring you a bit of breaking news, which may be of interest to some of you. It's about puberty blockers. Now, these are drugs that are used to delay the changes of puberty in transgender youngsters. in terms of how they are prescribed by the NHS, there has been a lot of controversy over the last few years about this. At the moment, they are only prescribed to children attending gender identity services as part of clinical research, and they are not routinely offered to children at gender identity clinics, but they are still offered. Well, the government, NHS England, has just confirmed that children will no longer be prescribed puberty blockers at gender identity clinics. This is coming from NHS England. It just broke in the last few moments.
You know, now here in Canada, we have to give, you know, top stars to Danielle Smith in Alberta, who has basically said we're not going to be giving puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones to young people. This has been a fight that has been very personal for me. Many of you know I was formerly the co-host of a national Christian broadcast, and I absolutely loved doing my work there and sharing the love of God, you know, all of the time. But it was a bit of a shock to me when I found out in my province of British Columbia that they were teaching this SOGI. Many of you now know this, but at the time that we discovered it, no one knew it. Sexual orientation and gender identity. And this was an agenda. They don't like to call it a curriculum, but it was woven into all the curriculums. If you were taking math, you were taking SOGI. If you were taking history, you were taking SOGI. They were talking about the genders and how everyone can be six ways from Sunday, you know, on the genders. And when I began speaking about this many years ago, I actually had to convince parents that this was a thing. I had to show them, like, yes, they really are trying to tell little Johnny that he can be little Jacqueline. And so as we shared all of this, there was, you know, a rising against me. The local papers first started calling me terrible names and, you know, doxing me in many ways. And then there was the national media that began speaking about me and putting my face up on their nightly news while I was eating my dinner and discovered I was the news. And of course, they had Maxime Bernier that they were interviewing and asking him, you know, why he would choose me to be a part of his, at that time, it was a political campaign to run to be a member of parliament, and why he would choose such a horrible person who doesn't want kids to get cross-sex hormones. And so this showed me very early on what cancel culture was all about. I began first having to take the assault and the death threats and the anger of the LGBTQ. So that was difficult. And what was really hard is, I'll tell you what, I never said one hateful word against them. I would be presenting the facts. We talked about Tavistock and their findings and how the doctors were quitting because the outcomes after gender-affirming surgery weren't as great as they were hoping. People were being put into a high suicidality category. It wasn't good. And they weren't finding the relief from some of their pain. These precious kids have pain. There's a lot going on. It's not really about their gender identity. It might be about their identity, and that maybe they're not affirmed in loving themselves. So all of this led to, you know, tremendous difficulty in my life. We had protests. We had things thrown at us. I had bodyguards that would accompany me and ensure my safety. All of this began a rise. And then I found out that Soros was backing this with millions of dollars. To put this into all the schools worldwide, really. I thought this was just one terrible teacher in Langley. And it turned out this curriculum, this agenda, was going across Canada into every school. And I'm sorry to say, but into many church schools as well. There has been the ultimate compromise. We have seen the great falling away. I believe it has started. And so as I began to fight this, I was released from my duties from a national television Christian organization because, you know, they agreed with me, but they didn't want the fight. And so this became a very personal understanding that if you stand against something that is harmful, that is unscientific, that is not true, but you dare to speak, that you receive that cancel culture into your own life. And that's what happened. And so from then till now, I haven't changed. God has led us down many paths. We're looking to get back onto television again. And we've been so blessed by those of you who have stood with us through thick and thin on the internet as we have day in and day out presented quality, truthful, honest reporting on what's happening. And the kind of things that you see here, you won't be seeing on CBC Global or CTV. Absolutely not. They're paid to be silent. We are helped by you to tell the truth, and we appreciate that. Let's have a look at former college athlete Riley Gaines recounting what happened after her and Leah Thomas. And you'll remember Leah Thomas is the gentleman who says that he's a woman, finished in a tie in a swimming competition.
I asked the question that no one dared ask all season. And I said, why? Which, of course, he didn't have an answer as to why. They didn't give him a script of what to say when someone asks you the dreaded question of why. And so his first excuse he came up with, he's stumbling on his words, and he's, we're actually just doing this in chronological order, he said. And so I said, okay, do you mean alphabetical? Because G comes before T. Otherwise, I literally have no idea what you're being chronological about. Right? We tied. So again, what's your rationale here? And finally, he realized that he didn't have a justification. He didn't have an answer for this. And I actually appreciate his honesty. This is when his face changed. He looked sad. His voice changed. I could tell he didn't even believe what he was about to say. But this official looked at me and said, Riley, I am so sorry, but we have been advised as an organization that when photos are being taken, it's crucial that the trophy is in Leah's hands. Again, you can pose with this one, but you have to give yours back. Leah takes the trophy home. You go home empty-handed, end of story. We can eventually mail you one.
Oh my God.
Is what they said. So it was kind of, it was like that moment when I felt guilty at that point. I felt guilty for participating in the farce. I felt guilty for even getting in the water.
You know, I really resonate with what she's saying. It's like, this is a whole new thing. I heard somebody on the news the other night saying, well, this whole gender thing, it's only been about 5 or 6 years. I'm like, no, it's been 9 years at least, when we thought it was, you know, just the next crazy fad coming in and some one lone star teacher is teaching something crazy, you know, over on the other side. And no, this is a worldwide agenda, and it affects women. Where's the bra burning 60s women's livers? You know, they've all gone silent, or maybe they passed now. I don't know. They should still be alive and they should be livid, but maybe they're in their later years now, and they're just enjoying the new world. Has it really brought anything better? When, like, does it make sense that we fought so hard to be paid the same, you know? And I am not a women's liver at all. I always just went, well, I am what I am, and I'll go where God calls me. And I always say that God has opened doors that no man nor demon could shut. I trusted him for all of that. I could be blonde, you know, with fake hair, fake eyelashes, fake nails, so that I could be real for Jesus. You know, I just trusted God that he would help me to get where I needed to be. And I knew that I had, you know, deficits, and I had positives that I could offer the world. But I'm just wondering how these feminists who just rage about women, women's rights, women's rules, woman power, you know, where are they in the middle of a world where now, I mean, think it through. If this persists, this kind of nuttiness that's come against Riley Gaines, her epic swimming career, she ties with a dude who's got more muscle mass and more body mass. She ties with him, and the dude has to be seen with this. We're told, we just have to see, because, you know, apparently men who think that they're women are now trumpeting the real woman power on the planet. Isn't that shocking? And of course, you all know, we've already gone over so many times these things that happen, you know, when it's a UFC fighter and it's a man against a woman. I mean, the woman has no chance. She's getting her jaw broken and her face beat up and, you know, and nobody really wants to say anything. These women are, is it sort of stupid courage to kind of think that you have to do it because the world says that men can be women? I don't know. In my Bible, in my precious, precious Bible, God says he created men and women. And he doesn't make mistakes. And it's very sad for me that a person, a young person who is in confusion, or even an adult, because this happens to adults too, all of their sadness, all of the difficulty that they faced, they suddenly feel like, you know what, maybe if I change my gender, if I get, you know, gender-affirming surgery, that will affirm that, you know, women, they'll remove their breasts and men are having these operations. And I don't know if you've seen these pictures of these, you know, I don't know what that is that they sewed on the bottom area to try to make it into a male-looking thing, but that is not it. And when they come through this, I saw recently a video of a young man explaining that the operation had not gone well and that it was disturbing what's happened and that the doctors didn't care. The doctors get paid to do the operations. They don't get paid to undo them. No one's paying for that. If you want an operation in Canada, and let me tell you, our tax dollars are paying for this. It's hard when tax dollars begin paying, and it is well happening in Canada, when our hard-earned money is actually paying for evil in the land, for people to have abortions, for people to take off the God-given, you know, body parts that were intended for them. And that this is somehow that we have to pay for that as taxpayers. And they might be prisoners. I was doing a Bible study in women's prison. Never forget this. Well, first of all, I'd already been to the men's prison. I was a guest speaker at a men's prison. That was a kick, let me tell you. But I loved it. And there was a person that came there. And they were in full women's makeup. Women's hair looked very feminine. In the men's prison. And then I started doing a Bible study at the women's prison. And by this time, this gentleman had had operations in Ottawa on our dime, taxpayers' dime. And then he was now in the women's Bible study, asking for prayer, of course, for healing for the operation. So it was quite a spot. But I'll tell you, the grace of God is good. The grace of God is powerful. And I appreciate who God is. He's always so very gracious. He loves us. He loves the people that are struggling with these things. He loves the people that are being lied to by all of this nonsense. All right, moving on to some, shall we do some Canadian economic health? The U.S. GDP per capita has grown tenfold over Canada in a decade. So this is a little bit, you know, disturbing. Let's understand that in comparison to the United States of America, something's going very, very wrong in Canada. And we're struggling, and we do not see the favor of God. And I often look back at some of the times in Scripture when leaders did not follow God's laws. There was judgment that came on the land. And it makes me wonder if that's what we're experiencing right now. So the Bank of Nova Scotia, the economist, an economist from the Bank of Nova Scotia, laments the effects of public policy on Canadian productivity. Let me see if I can read this for you. In a bigger picture sense, so recognize this is actually an economist. This is a Bank of Nova Scotia. You've all seen that driving down the streets. This is what he has to say. In a bigger picture sense, I'm deeply worried about public policy in my country. Productivity is in a tailspin. That's what we see on that last graph that we just had. A greater share of GDP is spent on here today, gone tomorrow, current spending by governments and households than in decades. Tax policy is uncompetitive. Business bashing has become commonplace by people who've never spent 2 seconds working in private industry. Competition policy changes face serious criticisms. Changes to labor laws have benefited unions, while collective bargaining exercises are driving wage growth to the moon despite collapsing productivity. Major sectors of the economy are literally being taken over by government, with recent examples being childcare, dental care, and now pharmacare. Do we get better quality outcomes in state-run health and education sectors? Tried visiting an ER lately? Nuff said. Ho ho, yeah. You know, unless you're actually dying in the ER, good luck. It's just shocking how bad. If you get sick in Canada, check out how our system is doing. You know, in all of these things, we are going to have to trust God. Do we have time for the Florida representative? Matt Gaetz, let's run him. And then a quick comment. Matt Gaetz basically is asking why the DOD won't analyze vaccinated versus an unvaccinated data. This is a growing concern. So let's have a look at what he's saying.
What's the case against analyzing those conditions that have seen these increases in the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated?
We are continuing to do surveillance on these conditions, and we are open to doing additional work on this. With chronic conditions, it is tricky to look at that in relation to a vaccine.
Is a pulmonary embolism a chronic condition, or is it an acute condition?
We can look at acute conditions.
Yeah, Paul, your medical knowledge goes far beyond mine, but I would consider a pulmonary embolism acute, not chronic.
With hypertension, it could be difficult to get causal evidence to link that to the vaccine. But yes, we can look at acute outcomes.
Right, but see, that's how you get the causal evidence. The reason there are people concerned that the DOD is engaging in a cover-up here is because you seem to be willfully and purposefully ignorant to those comparisons on these ailments that are skyrocketing now for pregnant women, for people who get pulmonary embolisms, for people with hypertension. And in the one area you've looked, myocarditis, you're here giving testimony that actually causes this increased risk factor. And so, Mr. Chairman, I hope we continue to follow up on this, because my deep concern is that there is a cover-up here and that they're playing games with the data so that we can't actually assess whether it's the vaccine or the ailment that is causing these acute conditions. And, I mean, wouldn't it be a tragic thing to have to discover that we hurt people with the vaccine more so than the virus did with the ailment, particularly in a condition where now the CDC, whose opinion I guess we treat like the gospel, is saying that you just should quarantine for 24 hours after you're done with your fever. So they have evolving sensibilities on this, and the only way we get to the bottom of it is that data comparison. I thank the chair's indulgence, and I yield back.
Well, I started the show today asking, are we ever going to get back to common sense? Are we ever going to get back to science? See, science is God's idea, and I think that's pretty cool. Science is God's idea. When we rely on science, we're relying on things that God put in place. Of course, they can manipulate science, and that's a bit of a problem. I don't like that at all. I don't like it at all. Hey, thanks for supporting this show. Lauralyn.tv, that's where you can go to help us. There's a donate button there. I appreciate if you're able to do that. And, there it is. Thank you very much for all of you who support what we do. And I do want you to know that if you're able to become a $20 a month partner, we'd like to send you my book. My book is Relentless Redemption. And this is the story of how God brought me through tremendous failure and how he picked me up off the bottom of my bottom. I got to a bottom, I sure did. And God picked me up, and his restoration and his kindness restored me. So we appreciate you if you can be a monthly donor or a one-time donor or an anonymous donor. You anonymous people out there, you like to stay anonymous. We appreciate you so much. If you're able to help us, it means the world to us. I want to close today by leaving you with a scripture from 1 Corinthians 12 in verse 12. And you know that we all matter, that all of us have a destiny God created. Before he formed us in our mother's womb, he knew who we would be. He knew how funny you would be. He knew how grumpy you would be. You know who you are. He knew that you were gonna have a, yes, that's you, JT. He knew that you were gonna have kind of a personality that would be fitting for what God called you to. and he formed you perfectly. And now we all need each other. So don't let anyone tell you that you're not God's design, that you can't fulfill God's destiny, because this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:12. Just as a body through one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So basically it's saying, well, if you say, well, I'm not like so-and-so, I'm not like them, I'm not as good as them, I'm not as talented, you know, I don't have what it takes, that, well, that's not true. And just because you say it doesn't mean you aren't actually still the foot of the body. And guess what? Without the feet, we don't get to go anywhere. Maybe you feel like your body part is just that big toe. You're just an ugly toe, you know? Guess what? If you don't have a big, ugly toe, right? Some of us got uglier toes than others. But if you don't have that big, ugly toe, you can't stand correctly. People without a big toe, you're gonna be shocked how important that toe is. It offsets the whole body if you don't have a big, ugly, gnarly toe. So we need each other, and we need you for the role that God has given you. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. The whole body, it says, cannot be an eye. The whole body can't be, you know, what you want to be. Maybe you feel like you're a big nose part of the body. Guess what? We all need the parts to fit together to be as one. God loves you. Thanks for joining us today. See you soon. You know, it's not easy to deliver the truth of what our sick world is doing, but for some of us, we feel that we have no choice. Because if we are silent about these abominable things, then we are letting evil go unchecked, and we cannot do that. For those of you wonderful people who are writing me and are sharing your encouragement, I am deeply grateful. Thank you for all the letters that you've been sending. Thank you for the donations and the support. I found out that in order to speak the truth, you have to become very, very strong. If you would go to my website at www.lauralyn.tv, you'll find all of the ways that you can contact me. Remember, my friends, all is well. All is well. Thanks for joining me.